Good evening. Tonight we're going to do a Bible study on three reasons you can't be close to God and distance from the church. I'll say that again. Three reasons you can't be close to God and distant from the church. What would you say if I told you that one of the greatest indications of your faith is your relationship with the church? The odds are you left a church because you moved away or were hurt by somebody in the church. It could have been you disagreed with how something was handled, didn't like one of the pastors, heard some disturbing rumors, or the coffee was just too bad for you to drink. Anytime you leave the church, it complicates your relationship with the church as a whole. You become a little more guarded, maybe a little more distant, more cautious. You just need time to heal. Or you leave for good and just have a personal faith detached from the church. Obviously, it's not at all bad, though. You also watch people give their lives to Christ, get baptized, and repair their marriages with help from others. You've been cared for and invested in by people of the church. You're deepened your faith because of some great messages, intentional discipleship, a great small group, or just a wonderful people who had encouraged you to point you back to God when you were walking away. You've probably experienced both the good and bad in church, which is why our relationship with church is so complicated. So where does that leave your relationship with the church and with God? Or maybe we should say, where does that leave your relationship with God Himself? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says this, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more, as you see the day approaching." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the time we have together tonight. We ask you, Lord, that you'll bless this message in our study tonight as we study the reasons why our relationship with the church is directly connected with our relationship with you. Lord, bless this message, for it's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen. Let me tell you something. Let me try to say it as clearly as I can. Your relationship with the church is a reflection of your relationship with God. If that sounds a little odd, surprising, or makes you disagree inside, let me see if I can prove it to you with an encounter between Peter and Jesus. First of all, we need to look at the subject of my church. Whatever your relationship with the church is now, my hope for you is that you can someday say about the church you go to is that it is my church, meaning you can confidently say, "This is my church and these are my people. I am an engaged member of this community and I'm invested in our future." The "my church" language actually comes from Jesus himself. In an exchange with Peter, somewhere in the middle of Jesus' ministry, Jesus asked a pivotal question. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? The disciples' response to Jesus with rumors and murmurings of the people. They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And then he hits them with the question in their life, "But what about you? Who do you say that I am?" That's a strange question, isn't it? These disciples had walked with Jesus for a long time. But Jesus asked them a pointed question. He says, "Who do you say that I am?" This is a big question that we all have to answer at some point in our life. Peter, luckily, gets this one right. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Did you catch that? We often center on in this scripture proves the beginning of the Catholic Church. Or, if this verifies Peter as the first of the successive line of the singular church leader. But all of these miss the overall point, that the church belongs to Christ. And if it comprised of those who had made this proclamation of faith that Jesus is the Messiah. Here's another way of thinking about this implication of Jesus' statement. Faith check. You can't be close to God and distant from the church, because the first one to say this is my church is Christ. The church, the body of believers that you are part of, belongs to Christ. You belong to Christ. We are His first and foremost. Attempting to reject and distance ourselves from the church is to try to distance ourselves from Christ. We really can't do that, and we shouldn't want to do that at all. We always should be close to the church. Three important realizations for the Christian. Now, I want to cover these, and I want you to listen very close. A popular trend over the past decade is to have a spiritual life or to retain one's faith without being part of a regular Christian community. Popular headlines have made the rounds of saying some versions of how people are leaving the church but not leaving their faith. This is a bit puzzling in more than a few ways, but here are three big reasons why our relationship with God can't be separate from our relationship with the church. Number one, the church is where every Christian realizes they are part of God's people, not just a person following God. The desire of God has always been to have a people, not just a bunch of little autonomous individuals going around doing their own thing for the glory of God. Giving glory to God was and is a communal activity. For the nation of Israel, God blessed, punished, made covenants with, and expected loyalty from them as a people. Jeremiah chapter 24. If you turn your Bibles to Jeremiah 24, we'll read verses 4 through 7. The Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for their good. For I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down. I will plant them and not pluck them up, and I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart." And then this is the idea of people was extended to the Gentiles, to everyone who put their faith in Christ. For most of history, Gentiles and Jews were enemies of one another, and the Gentiles seen as enemies of God. But God planned to unite all who would call Jesus the Lord and their God together, so that there would be one humanity under one Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. Having abolished in the flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. In other words, he took the Jews and the Gentiles and made them one flesh. And verse 16, and that he might reconcile both of them unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Listen, we were once, as Gentiles, enemies of the cross, but God saw fit to bring us into a relationship with Himself and make us Jews inwardly. How did He do that? By the blood of Christ. When we gave our life to Christ, we became one with Jesus. We became one with the cross. We became one with the Jewish nation. Becoming and being a Christian means that you shouldn't and can't walk in your faith alone. Number two, the church is where diversity and unity come together to glorify God. The Christian church is the most unique assortment of the people in the world. For the most part, every other world religion is centered around a particular culture, a geographical area, and has as its majority a certain race. Christianity, however, is found in just about every country, in just about every culture, and has representation in almost every race. It is truly diverse in its scope and inclusivity. Additionally, there is an overarching unity underneath the head of Christ by the power of the Spirit. Across these many cultures, geographical areas, and races, there is an overarching unity that all are a part of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look down in verse 12. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. So think about that. Think about what Paul said. He says the body is one. Whether you be Jew or Gentile, the body we belong to is one, which is Christ, and we all belong to that one body. How do we do that? By one Spirit, we're all baptized into that one body. Whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Now, Paul goes on to say that each church member and each member of the body of Christ, every Christian has an integral role to play in building up the church. We do not all have the same gifts. We do not all have the same roles. We do not all have the same experience. We do not all have the same backgrounds or needs, but one that is very clear according to Paul, one thing that is very clear to Paul is that we need each other in the body of Christ. We need the diversity of gifts. We need the diversity of talents. We need the diversity of experience. And anything else that every Christian brings to the community, someone else needs you. Thirdly, the church is who Christ gave His life for. I want you to remember this. The church belongs to Christ. He is head of the church, not the pastor, not the deacons, not the elders. Christ is head of His church. He gave His life for it. He shed His blood for it. He died for His church. This may come as a bit of a shock, but Jesus had bigger plans than to save you personally. You're included for sure, but it's not about you, and it's not about me. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. I want you to notice that. God so loved the entire world. He loved everyone. Both Jew and Gentile, both Muslim and Catholic, everyone Christ loved. He loved the whole world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, notice that word, whosoever. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what religion you are. Doesn't matter what faith you are. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's grandioso plan was not for you and for me. It was for the world to have the offer to believe in his Son, and all who did became members of the church. As Paul would later comment on submission, which many have used to describe marriage, Paul is actually talking about the profound mystery between the church and Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 27. The Bible says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." Now, this seems to be talking about people, but it's really talking about the church. Christ died for the church. He gave his life so that we might be one with him. And he wants to make his church, he wants to sanctify, cleanse that church, and each member of that church by the washing of water by the word, that he may present himself a glorious church. Notice that. That he may present himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. That is God's desire. He wants the church to be holy. He calls us to be holy. The Bible says, "Be ye holy as I'm holy." He wants us to all be holy, but we cannot be holy without giving our heart to Christ. We must give our heart to Christ and get that life-changing blood applied to our life, and the Holy Spirit will work in our inner being to change us and mold us and make us into a new creation in Christ. Again, in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Paul would comment to the Ephesian elders on his departure. Notice what he said. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Spirit had made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased," notice this, "with his own blood." Notice that passage. We as pastors are to feed the flock of God. God has made us overseers of the church, and we're to feed the flock of God. Why do we feed the flock of God? Go back to Ephesians chapter 5. So that we can present the church holy, blameless, without blemish unto God, the glorious church that he is wanting us to be. So while your faith may be deeply personal, and your choice to follow God may have been private, you join the people of God, his church. Your faith can and never should be separated from the church. Here are three final thoughts I will leave with you tonight. You should be active in the community of believers. When you become a Christian, you join the largest community in the world. Find a local church to not only attend, but to be active in. Many people today attend a church, but they're not active in the church. We all should find a place to be active. Listen, you may not be a pastor. You may not be a singer. You may not be qualified to be a deacon, but you can still be active in the church. You should celebrate the diversity and the unity of the church. Learn and cherish the different cultures that are represented within the church, the gifts that different people bring, and the unity that can only come through the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit will work in each person's life to bring us together. You should love God's church because He gave His life for it. This one is probably the most important because the church isn't always lovable because of the people. People are messy, people are mean, and sometimes people are just hard to manage. But through Christ, the church is a beautiful bride worth loving. So I would say this to you tonight. Find a church where the Word of God is taught in its entirety and the whole counsel of God's Word is preached. Paul told Timothy this very important lesson. He said, "Preach the Word in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Why? Because the time will come when men will not listen to sound doctrine, but heap to themselves teachers with itching ears. In other words, people not preaching the Word of God. This is so very important. Find you a church where the Word of God is taught in its entirety and the whole counsel of God's Word is preached. Secondly, find a church where you feel loved and accepted as part of the church family. This may be hard because many churches are not lovable. Many churches are not welcoming. Find you a church where you feel loved and accepted as part of the family. Now, this may take you a while to find a church like that. You can find it at Ephesus Missionary Baptist Church, where I pastor now. We love all people. We accept all people. We try to bring people in. And that, my friend, is the kind of church you need to be part of. Thirdly, that way, you found a church where you can share your burdens and cares with others and feel like part of a close, united family. Listen, my friends, these things that I've told you tonight about our relationship with God and what you can do to make your relationship even stronger, we need to remember these three things because they're so very important as we live our lives. Listen very carefully. The church, first of all, the church is where every Christian realizes they're part of God's people, not just a person following God. When you find a church that you feel comfortable in, when you find a church that truly suits you, when you find a church that they welcome you, when you find a church that the Word of God is preached, you have found a church where everyone realizes they're not just a person, they're a family of God. Secondly, the church is where diversity and unity come together to glorify God. Listen, we need to realize that we live in a world of diversity. Diversity, what makes the United States who it is. We have several different nations in our church, and every nation should be welcome in our church. Our church should be welcoming to all people. Our church should be welcome to all diversities, no matter what color they are, no matter what nationality they are, no matter who they come from, where they come from, or what their faith is. We should welcome them in, teach them the Word of God, and teach them the right way that God would have us to do. Because the church is where diversity and unity come together to glorify God. Thirdly, and this is the most important one, the church is who Christ gave His life for. Remember that. Christ gave His life for the church. Christ died for the church. And remember that. Christ would have went to the cross if you were the only one on the planet that needed saving. But He did not die for just you. Remember John 3:16? For God so loved the world. God loved everyone. And God wants everyone to be saved. God loves us all. No matter what color we are, no matter what nationality we are, no matter what religion we are, God still loves us. God loves us so much. God's gracious plan was not just for you or for me. It was for the whole world. God sent His Son not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Remember that. God didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And then my final point before we close tonight. If you're looking for a church, find you a church where the Word of God is taught, and not just the Word of God is taught, but taught in its entirety. Good parts and convicting parts and encouraging parts and rebuking parts. Find you a church where the Word of God is taught in its entirety and the whole counsel of God's Word is preached. There's not many churches left like that today. Many people do not want to go to a church where the Word of God is preached in its entirety. They want to feel good. But the Bible says that we have to be convicted before we can be saved. Convicting Word of God is necessary. Find a church where you feel loved and where you feel accepted as part of the church family. And that may be harder than you think. Go to several churches. Find you a church where you can feel loved and accepted as part of the church family. That they shake your hand, that they hug your neck, that they welcome you into their fellowship. That may be harder than you think to find, but there are churches like ours out there, like Ephesus Baptist Church, that we welcome you, we love you, we accept you just the way you are. Thirdly, that way you will find a church where you can share your burdens, you can share your cares, you can share all of your hurts and everything with others and feel like part of a close-knit family that worships God and that comes together as a family every Sunday. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word. We thank you, Lord, for our study tonight. And Lord, we pray, God, that you'll bless those that don't have a church home. Help them know that at Ephesus, we welcome you. We welcome those that are out in the world at Ephesus Missionary Baptist Church in Hollow Rock. We worship you. We praise you. We glorify you. We welcome those in that maybe anybody else would not welcome. We love you. We praise you. We glorify you for what you've done in our lives, and we thank you for giving your life for the church and for the world so that they may come and be united as one. And Lord, we thank you for giving us the opportunity as Gentiles to be brought into the Jewish race and be Jews inwardly so that we might share in the blessings of the Jews in the end times. We thank you, Father, for your love and your mercy and your grace. For it's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen.